Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 2. We will be looking at life after death. So to begin with this genesis of the fourfold human being, let's begin at the end of life. Here again, I'm giving you a sort of set of snapshots of things that Steiner said in many, many lectures, particularly circa 1910 to about 1914, right before the Great War, World War I. It was as though he was preparing people for the millions of deaths that would ravage Europe for generations. So what he describes is that after we die, our physical body returns to its earthly substantiality. So the physical body is indeed part of the physical world. We'll come back to this later and see the challenges that this presents. And meanwhile, however, the other three-quarters of our being is not dead at all, but rather is taking on another form, is living on, but in a completely different state of being. So for a period of time, the etheric body, the astral body, and the ego remain united. And for this reason, and this sometimes shows up in popular culture, like in the movie The Sixth Sense, for a while, people who have died do not realize that they have died, because their consciousness, for a period of time, can remain fairly intact. And the physical body is the sort of foundation that we need to move through the world and act in the world, but our consciousness actually lies in other realms as well. So what happens now is just as the physical body has fallen away and become one with the physical world of the earth over time, so now the etheric body, the astral body, and the ego long to unite with their primal homes, which are in the spiritual world. The etheric body is the first one to return to its original substance. And as it does, we have first a very short and then a much longer looking back, retrospective of the life that we have lived. Those of you who've taught your children in the earlier grades know that the etheric body is the seat of the human memory. Therefore, the disembodied etheric body, the etheric body no longer hemmed in, fenced in by the necessities of the physical world, shows its tremendous recapitulative memory forces, and our whole life then appears before us as a memory picture, though, as Steiner says, backwards. It's like a film, a reel of film, a long, long reel played backwards. And the etheric body expands into the etheric world, and there are spiritual beings who accept this etheric body in a way, and now they are going to work on it. Number one, to see what we learned through our etheric body while we lived on Earth. Did we make full benefit of it? Did we learn important lessons? Do we have anything to teach the spiritual world about what it means to live in a physical body? And then, next, after years pass, the astral and the ego now range more fully, and we could say that from a spatial point of view, using this only in a pictorial way, they are rising higher, that the etheric body remains always sort of the distance of the moon from the earth. But the astral body and the ego rise up to the distances of Mercury and Venus and Mars and Jupiter from the Earth. Once again, in a pictorial way, they expand much more. And the astral body in particular plays an important role after death, because it is, after all, the seat of our emotions, of our feelings, of our sympathies, antipathies. It is very much the home, we could say, of the relationships that we have had with other human beings, with the world around us, with our life of thought. You know, we have sympathy and antipathy to certain kinds of thoughts and observations that we make. The astral body is a grand repository of our whole life of feeling, and this takes a long, long time to be gently sieved through, gently filtered out by spiritual beings who, again, want to see, did we learn how to control our emotional life when we were on the earth? Were we capable of working with our sympathies and antipathies? Were we able to master feelings like anger, but also joy? Were we able to sympathize, empathize with others in the world? Were we selfish? These are huge questions, of course. They will show themselves living very strongly, I can assure you, in your 7th and also 8th grade classes. So the astral body spends a long period of time with the ego riding on it, like a fairy tale figure on a firebird, we might say, going through the planetary realms of the spiritual world, and meeting spiritual beings who ask us, now we are in an astral form, we're a spiritual being as well, ask us questions. What have we learned? So if you think that the time for taking tests is over, now that you're an adult and working in the Waldorf world, you just wait. And they're not multiple choice tests either. So there we are, in a way, questioned. And there we also attend a kind of schooling which is meant to help us learn what we need to do in our next lifetime so that we can counterbalance anything that we may have done wrong, or any area in which we have been unbalanced, any area where we've gone to one extreme or another. These beings are there trying to help us. And then finally, the astral body is able to expand out into the cosmic astral. And then finally, we are beings of pure ego. And here we are at the very highest point, the zodiacal stage of our consciousness, of our existence. Indeed, it's such a lofty point that most human beings actually sleep through it. And spiritual beings do a good deal of the work for them. And what is this work? This work at the highest point of our expansion into the spiritual world, what Steiner speaks of as the midnight hour, is nothing other than beginning to create the physical body that we will have in our next lifetime. So here we see, on the one hand, the physical body is sort of the lowest of our members, and Steiner uses that term repeatedly. It's made up of the, you know, clay of ordinary earthly substance. It's not nearly as ethereal or cosmic as the other bodies. On the other hand, to create the model of that body, to create the form of that body, this is the loftiest task of the highest spiritual beings, and we have to be in our ego state in order to do this, because it's this physical body which will be the instrument through which we are able to fulfill karma. Without the physical body, we can't do it. You cannot fulfill karma in the spiritual world. You can become aware of what your karma is. You can feel badly or great about it one way or another. All of that is fine. You have all of those capacities. But you need to be incarnated in a human physical body in order to fulfill karma. So the creation of this body is a very, very great piece of work. And we are involved in that work with all of those with whom we will have karma in our next life. Now, what's very interesting about this is that we do very little work on our own physical body, but rather we work on the physical bodies of all of those with whom we have a connection. Those with whom we're going to be intimately connected, we have a lot to do with the creation of their physical body. Those with whom we have a, you know, an acquaintanceship relationship, maybe for a few days or months or years, there we'll do a little bit, a touch here or there. Those whom we encounter only once, perhaps momentarily in a lifetime, someone who collects a toll, someone who sells us a ticket, perhaps we work on just one cell of their being in one way or another. And then, when we come back to life, our sense of touch, the most primal and basic of all of our senses, that sense of touch is going to be very, very important. Because when we touch another one, we touch someone, we have a very low-grade, fleeting, but nonetheless valid memory of that midnight moment when we met on the level of ego and knew that we had work to do together. Once again, you'll see the importance of touching and not touching in the seventh grade. And think of that great Michelangelo, you know, archetypal picture, one of the most famous images, iconic images in all painting, of the hand of God about to touch the hand of Adam. We can see again this understanding of the primal nature of touch for the human being. So that's the midnight hour. And we might say then that that germ of a physical body, that seed of the physical body to come, is allowed then to gently, like a dandelion seed, fly around in the cosmos, making its way slowly to Earth, descending finally into those individuals who will be our parents, into the mother's womb, so that we can come into being and have a physical body. And then after that, we begin the descent. After a period of time, our astral body is reunited with the ego, but it's not the astral body with which we died. It's a new and improved version. It's been worked over by spiritual beings so that it too can be more in harmony with the karma that we have to fulfill. And then, very close to the time of our birth, we unite with our transformed, improved, etheric body as well, which will now give the formative forces necessary so that that physical body can take the right form, can take the right shape, and be active in fulfilling karma. And then finally, all of that descends into the womb of the mother, and that is where it unites with the physical body so that we can be born. So you see, there's a very different experience. You know, the etheric body knows nothing about the higher planetary realms. The astral body knows the consequences of what it is to be angry or to be kind, but it does not know how these consequences will manifest in the relationship of an individuality to his or her own body. See, so the astral body knows on an emotional, affective level what the consequences of a feeling will be, but it does not know what their consequences will be on the physical body of the individual having that feeling, or on the physical bodies of those around that individual. And this is an important role that we play as human beings. How can we integrate these bodies, which are not only our own bodies, which are also entirely different realms of the spiritual world? How can we integrate ourselves? And in so doing, we're really integrating realms of the spiritual world and beings in that spiritual world. And once again, I would say that in adolescence, the young person begins to have an inkling of this very particular task. We'll go on and look more specifically at the physical body next.